Well, it's time again for another fantastic WHFR record show. It's back, and it's better than ever. The 7th Annual WHFR Record Show on Saturday, October 18th. The show features a wide variety of records, CDs, pop culture, and music memorabilia. Rock. Funk. Blues. Or anything you choose, it will all be there. If you can't find it at this show, you're not looking hard enough. This fine WHFR event is taking place at 5101 Evergreen Road in the Culinary Arts Building on the beautiful campus of Henry Ford College. Also included at the show, you could even win some record show spending cash. Baby, if you can't get enough music or music memorabilia, this show is a must go. Need more information? Of course you do. Visit our website, whfr.fm/recordshow, or you could email us at whfr@hfcc.edu. So mark this day on your calendar and join us October 18th for the show that everyone has been waiting for, the 7th Annual WHFR Record Show on the campus of Henry Ford College.
I'm Liz Lahren, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn.
Hi, this is Lynn, your host of Impact. Welcome to this afternoon show. We are talking about Trunk or Treat today, and we have three different churches here who are telling us about their approach to Trunk or Treat. Really, really looking forward to that. I will tell you that this is a pre-recorded show, and the views and opinions expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR nor Henry Ford College. And welcome, Dustin. Introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about your church and your history with Trunk or Treat.
Sure. My name is Pastor Dustin Weber. I'm the new lead pastor at the Dearborn Free Methodist Church on South Telegraph here in Dearborn. This last Sunday was only my sixth Sunday at the church, so I'm rather new here in Dearborn. But the church has been doing Trunk or Treat for quite a while, and I've been quickly getting up to speed on what they've been doing. Started early, you know, early in the 2000s, something like that, okay. About more than 10 years ago. And usually on Halloween night, doing a trunk or treat, inviting the community in. And we're planning another one this year that should be just as big as we've done them in the past.
Okay. So your church has a lot of experience. You don't. So it's sort of a baptism by fire.
It's a little bit that way. Okay. Actually, the church that, as I understand it, at least the church that helped them begin it or where they took some of the ideas is a church I used to be on staff at as well. So I have a little bit of background with it, just not exactly the way that they've been doing it here in the Dearborn community for the last few years.
Okay, terrific. And we also have Pastor Albert from Hope Lutheran.
Thank you, Lynn. Yes, this is Pastor Albert LeBlanc from Hope Lutheran in Dearborn. We are on the corner of Madison and Carlisle in Dearborn. This is our second Trunk and Treat event that we have had, last year being our first. I am approaching my third year as their called pastor at the worship community. This was something that I had started up last year, giving it a try, just trying to see how we can best reach out and welcome people and create a safe environment for children to come and enjoy the season.
Okay. And Kim?
Hi, I'm Kim Doverspike. I am a member at First Presbyterian Church of Dearborn on North Brady Street. We have been doing Trunk or Treat now. This will be our seventh year. And we started it as a community outreach activity, wanting a safe environment for people who trick or treat, for the kids, the families. It's grown every year. We're excited to put it on again this year and looking forward to having lots of kids come out and enjoy the evening.
One of the things I tried to do was find the official, if you will, beginnings of Trunk or Treat, and I couldn't find that. Mm-hmm. It looks like there are sporadic locations all over the country, and primarily churches, and there are also some community groups that are doing this. Mm-hmm. And for the audience, if you're not aware of how a Trunk or Treat runs, if you will, normally it's in a church parking lot. The cars pull into the parking spots, and the members or whomever open the trunk, they open the back of the vehicle, depending on the vehicle. And I did see some pictures online that were pretty amazing. And people have their vehicles decorated in such a way that the kids can go in and get something that's safe and have fun, wear their costumes. costumes and just not worry about some of the awful things we've heard about so far as trick-or-treat goes. But I did notice some of the pictures had NASCAR themes, harvest theme, sports, animal themes, movie, Western themes, even had a luau theme on some of them. And one vehicle was all decked out as Christmas, which was kind of interesting because it's Halloween. And then the individual groups sort of dictated the level of scary that the Halloween decorations went to. They were talking about how some churches don't use a lot of, you know, blood, that type of thing, and horror, but more fun things, the bats and the witches, which are kind of fun. So you want to tell us how the Methodist Church rolls with this, if you will? Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah. Well, we are splitting our trunk or treat indoor and outdoor. So we started doing it recently that way. And so we'll have a series of trunks outside for the treaters to come around to. We are encouraging all of our trunkers, I think, as they're calling them, to keep it pretty positive, create a pretty safe environment that's very family friendly. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of places if you want to be scared you can go, but hopefully the church parking lot isn't where you're going to be scared
right.
on Halloween night. They will do a bunch of trunks outside, and then they'll also have some different ones inside as well.
Okay, so
in designing, not trunks inside obviously, but designing kind of booths where they're going to be also passing out candy if it's cold or rainy or something like that as well.
Okay, do you have sort of a refreshment area inside then too, or just the booths?
Yeah, we'll have some inflatables as well that we're bringing in, and then some refreshments like hot dogs, and there's going to be a cookie decorating station or a donut. They're not figured that one out yet, okay. But probably cookies, some sweets, things, food for that way, as well as some hot drinks and cold drinks as well.
Oh, wonderful. You said before that you haven't had experience at this particular church where you are now.
Right.
You're new, but
right.
You do have experience with trunk or treat. Do you have any stories of any unusual trunks or decor or whatever that you've seen in the past?
Oh, that's a great question. I've seen it. I also was doing a bunch of, we're trying to come up with more ideas for this year as well. And it is a lot of fun when you can take some of the children's movie themes, that type of thing, and be able to. So for this year, what a few of us have been throwing around the ideas of doing is to take some of those children, whether it's maybe some of the Christian ones, VeggieTales, or maybe even some of the Disney movies that have been out in the last couple of years, and trying to do some things where kids are getting to see some of the characters that they've been watching on TV this last year. So that's kind of one of the ideas we're throwing around with a few of the trunks.
Sounds like fun. Okay. Pastor Albert, you are also a little bit new to this whole trunk or treat, but last year, the first year, did you have any unusual trunks or van backs or anything like that?
No, ours, we, once again, as stated pretty much by others, that we try to make it as where it's not a scary environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
A lot of what I saw a lot of people went with was more of a fall festival type of thing. So there was more fall decor. People had bales of straw sitting outside by their trunks. They had scarecrows and stuff like that, pumpkins.
Okay.
But then we have not actually gone through to a theme. Now, I have seen some other sister congregations that have done that. Some people who are in the planning process of this have brought that up, saying, hey, maybe next year let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
We know one of the sister congregations we're affiliated with, it's a competition within the congregation, like who has the best trunk.
Okay, car to car.
Yeah,
trunk
and they
trunk.
Have
it's a great
like
idea.
They have a trophy that they award every year to who has the best car.
Okay.
So it creates some little friendly rivalry within the congregation for decorating.
All right.
So we've talked about that. Maybe that's something we can do as well, just to create some more fun for the trunkers, as Dustin has said, as well as having the fun for the children. So that's where we're at right now.
Okay. Anything new for this year that you have scheduled a little bit different from last year?
Yeah, last year we offered like a lunch station for the children,
mm-hmm.
and for others, adults who were with them as well, and it was for a nominal fee. This year we've been blessed to have the donations from the members of the church to where we will be providing a free lunch for all
nice.
Who will be in attendance. We also are going to be we're looking to have a pumpkin patch set up on the side of the church proper to where after the children are done gathering their sugar, they can then go over and get some roughage with a pumpkin or something. And we're hoping to provide that to the children as well.
Okay, these are plain pumpkins?
They will be plain pumpkins that the children will then have the opportunity to decorate for Halloween.
Oh, nice.
Our trunk or treat is the Sunday before Halloween, so this would give them time that they could go home, paint it, carve it, whichever they prefer.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be an opportunity for them to do that.
That sounds like fun. Kim, tell us a little bit about what's going on at First Pres.
Okay, well, we do have our trunk or treat as well on Halloween night itself. And the decorating is actually one of the parts that we have really found to be fun and that gets a whole congregation involved. So we buy hundreds of pumpkins, hay bales, corn stalks. We decorate really elaborately with that. We make a big setup in the parking lot. We have a pumpkin carving night for the church, probably the Sunday before. So then everybody gets there, we bring all the pumpkins in, everybody can carve them for the trunk or treat, take one home as well if you wish. So we have a big pumpkin carving evening, which is very fun and gets the congregation involved. And we also do a contest as well. So the best decorated trunk, we give a prize to, just a little fun prize one of our members has made. And the best costumes for the trunkers get a prize as well. So that way it kind of, it gets the congregation involved and they have a reason to think it's fun and exciting on their own, as well as just having a great activity and spirit around. We get some old movies on a reel, then we put them up on, project them on the side of the church, some old sort of Halloween black and whites that are going on and different things like that in the parking lot. So it's pretty elaborate from the decorating standpoint.
Right. So how long are the films? Is this something you could actually sit and watch, or is it
just
in passing?
Yeah, I think so. It's like the Frankenstein and the, you know, not super scary, but kind of black and white, spooky sort of movie with music background, and that just kind of rolls through a loop the whole evening.
Oh, what fun.
So, yeah, that's kind of interesting.
I think it's Frankenstein.
Probably right.
Okay, that's great. That gives us an overview of what's going on at the three churches, and we're going to take a little break and be right back after this.
Green jobs are here to stay. Why not go green with a degree in alternative energy here at Henry Ford Community College? Students will acquire knowledge in advanced fuel sources and the practice of alternative energy in the world. For more information on the Alternative Energy Program, please contact HFCC's Technology Division by calling 313-317-9816 or by going to hfcc.edu/programs.
We're back. Thank you again so much for being here to talk about our trunk or treats that are in the Dearborn area. And three churches are here today talking about their own interpretation of what is a trunk or treat, when is it, how is it. In the past, kids were going house to house, door to door, if you will, and you always wanted to go as fast as you could. My brother is about 4 years younger than me, and so I was the one that was always moving, come on, let's go, and we were running, because the more you ran, the more stuff you got. So now everything's in one place, and that kind of makes it easier on the little brother. Right?
Absolutely.
Dustin, tell us about some of the details going on at the Methodist Church.
Sure. Our trunk or treat is going to be on October 31st, 6 to 8 o'clock at night. It'll be partly indoors, partly outdoors in the parking lot. One of the things that we're trying to do diligent, one of the purposes behind it, we want to have a safe environment. And so one of the things you hear about every year on Halloween night are kids that are running out in the street. There's traffic. It's dark. People are going, you know, they're speeding around trying to get all up and get their kids to all these different neighborhoods, something like that. So we barricade off a large portion so no cars can actually be moving at all. Once the cars, we get our cars parked and decorated. And then at that point, that once you get your kids inside of this area, you can know that it's a fenced off area. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be able to wander out any place like that. And then at that point, it's a family event. Mm-hmm. And so we've designed it so families together can go through all of the different the rows of cars and then through the building where there's some more different events that are sticking together. as a family, and then there's all the games at the end that okay. they can do as well.
Okay. Tell us about what's going on inside. Is that that's where the games are, or are there games outside too?
There'll be games inside and outside. Inside will be some more of the, you know, the small like kids carnival kinds of games, that type of thing inside. Also, that's where we're going to do a photo booth that parents can come and take their kids' pictures, or we'll have a photographer there also taking pictures, and they can get those pictures later on, kind of a memory kind of things. As well, then there'll be areas downstairs with the food, all the hot dogs, that kind of thing. Outside is where we're going to do the inflatables, as well as some of the other activities like that. We have three different major inflatables coming. We're going to do an obstacle course. One of the jousting one where you got this two sticks that you're inflated and you're trying to kind of fight with somebody else while you're on a little pedestal trying to knock off the other person. The bungee cord one, and then a bounce house for kids to jump up and down with.
Sounds like fun. What's the what is the bounce house? What is there a theme to it, or is it just Halloween, or is it just a blue house, or do you know?
I think it's the blue house.
Okay.
the bounce house is designed. We're bringing it in especially for the littler kids.
Okay.
Obviously.
All right.
The other ones are going to be the obstacle course is actually a two-man competition. So that's available. All ages, you can compete against your friend, your spouse, your kid, whatever it is you want to do in the obstacle course that way. All of them will be kind of out in the parking lot in the side yard of the church, right out by Telegraph.
Do you have a target audience age-wise, or is this everybody?
Well, we expect the actual treating part to be the smaller children, not the older ones, but it is a family event. So we're expecting all ages, parents, teenagers, smaller children, whatever, to be there. There's something for everyone. That's part of why we're bringing in some of the larger inflatables as well, because we know that we want it to be a multi-generational. We have all kids ages that are able to come in that type of environment.
And the owner of the vehicle is going to be with the vehicle.
Yeah.
Who is running the food court and that sort of thing inside?
Yeah, everything inside the church is going to be run by different people from the church primarily. The cars are, most of the people are from, in our setting at least, are mostly from our church. But then we've also opened it up to some of the other community event members. You know, we're right next to a pharmacy. They're going to come and do something pharmacy themed, and they're going to do a vehicle there as well.
I'm not sure what that means. Okay.
nor are we quite sure, but they. One of the things that we do though is all of the candy. We collect all the candy. Mostly is donated by people from the church or money that they donate that we purchase candy with.
Okay.
But we require all of it has to come in its original sealed packages. Because part of the whole issue is we're trying to create a safe environment. We want to kind of relieve parents of some of those fears of where did this come from? This is they're able to trust. So even some of the vehicles that are involved, all the candy is coming from the church and is stuff that we've distributed to them to be passing out.
Okay. All right. Very interesting. Okay. Well thought. Pastor Albert, talk to a little bit about Hope's number two trip to the parking lot.
Well, like I said, this is just our second one, so we still feel like we're a neophyte at this, that we're still trying to learn as we're going. But just as Pastor Dustin has said, that our primary purpose of doing this is providing a safe environment. That is not to say that our neighborhoods are not safe, but it's more of a safety issue, such as we had stated, children crossing streets, not paying attention. They're just excited to run to the next porch light type thing. We do live, our church is located on a corner, so there are a lot of cars that will be coming through there. So this will provide a safe environment because they're not having to cross streets. They're in an enclosed environment that where there are no cars traveling. Obviously, ours is barricaded off as well. Mm-hmm. We do ours during the day, so it's in daylight time. Ours is between the hours of 1 and 3 p.m., so that there's no sense of darkness. So, and we found a lot of the children that came last year were very little young children, so that aspect of the spookiness part of being out at dark and hearing funny noises, that was alleviated because it was daytime. So that's the aspect that we're looking to as far as when we say we want to provide a safe trick-or-treating environment. By no means are we saying that our neighbors are not safe. But ironically, one of the safety parts that, I observed last year that didn't think of it, a lot of our seniors in our congregations, they participated in this because they felt safe rather than being at their home alone and they're having to open their door to strangers coming up to their house. So that was an ancillary benefit to this that I didn't initially think of. So we had a lot of our seniors participating because they want to do something. They want to reach out to the community and be kind and welcoming. But you can understand for them living alone in their home, it's night, they're opening doors, they can't see too well, maybe because their vision is diminished in their age. This way here, they can still feel like they're participating in the festivity of the season because it's during the daylight hours and they're among other people. So there was that sense of safety for them.
Wow.
So that was a wonderful benefit to it last year.
Didn't think about that, the other age end of the spectrum, if you will. Yeah. So far as you were talking about a meal, that you're offering a meal?
Yes. What we're doing is we will be providing for those who, you know, desire, we'll be offering a hot dog and a bag of chips and a bottle of water. We also will, over in our pumpkin patch, we're going to be having some apple juice and some hot cookies coming out as the children are looking for their pumpkins, so they'll be able to enjoy that. Just trying to cap off that level of sugar that we're pumping them during the day.
Just in case they don't have quite enough.
Yeah, just in case.
Oh, that's great. Kim, tell us about First Pres. You have probably the longest history.
Okay, well, I think maybe the Methodist Church has been doing it longer, but I've been doing help organize this event since we started it in 2008. So this is our seventh year, and we call it our Make-Believe Halloween Extravaganza. And we started it with the purpose of we are also kind of a neighborhood church. We're up on, we're at 600 North Brady. Ours goes from 5:30 to 7:30. In the evening on Halloween night itself. We always are on Halloween night. And part of it was just to, you know, add to the festivity of Halloween, have a place, a safe place in the neighborhood that everybody can come to or anybody can come to. We like that part about it. We block off our parking lot as well. We set out the hay bales and get everybody in their trunks and kids can go through and they just hang out there for a long time, quite an extensive time. It seems like they just don't come in, run out, run through and leave. So, and then the last 2 years when we've had really bad weather, lots of rain on Halloween, we've opened it up to the inside as well. So last year we were completely inside because it was a monsoon and nobody would want to be out there. And we had, you know, when we kicked off at 5:30, we had a huge line because everybody wanted to stay dry already. So, so inside we set up, instead of the trunks for the trunkers, we set up what we call treat stations. And we, some people still bring their decorations in, decorate inside, and people can go through inside. We also have a popcorn machine set up, so we have fresh hot popcorn. We have hot apple cider. We have donuts. We have cupcakes. We have, lots of different treats, whatever our congregation would like to donate, but we always have those staples. We also have a photo booth set up, so we set up some hay bales and make a nice backdrop, and we have somebody there taking pictures, and then we post those pictures the next day on our website, so people can go and click on your picture and print it out if you want a momentum of the evening, or if you didn't get a good photo at home, or whatever the case may be. So that's part of our sort of excitement of the evening as well. We've had elaborate people set up or just, you know, come out of your trunk. We do get a lot of our seniors as well. That was a good point that Pastor Albert made. Our seniors really like to participate. They particularly like the indoor part when we've been opening it up indoors because they can stay warm and dry. And that's been a big bonus for our congregation as well to have our seniors involved. And we've had, I think last year we probably had 750 kids come through in the rain to come inside and stay warm. So it's really become a big turnout every year. It grows and grows. I think just word of mouth, people know we're there now, and they like to come out and enjoy the activities.
Do you advertise this event?
We do. We put a lot of flyers out throughout the community. We have one of our committee members who's really great at just going out and pushing the flyers at all the community bulletin boards. She's just got a real knack for that. We use the local websites, the Chamber of Commerce. We do some postcards to our neighborhood, and we also do an ad in the Press and Guide usually.
Okay.
Yeah,
right, so advertise. The word definitely gets out there.
Definitely gotten out. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You said you had about 750 last year. Which is an incredible number of.
Yeah,
kids
I think
to
last
pass
year
through.
Was definitely our biggest. I think we were at about 500 the year before.
Okay.
And it is a lot, and it's a lot for the members or the trunkers who aren't all members. We do get some community members in the neighborhood who don't want to have their house open or whatever, and they come to the church instead.
Okay.
And they found it to be really fun. It's just kind of a big festive atmosphere, mm-hmm. So people like to come there. But it's a lot to ask them to give candy to that many kids. So we also do a supplement. We have a lot of our own candy that we've purchased. And also we try to do things other than candy. So I'm sort of the one who gets all the treats. So I go online and try to find, you know, rubber ducks or tattoos or other fun Halloween things that aren't necessarily just candy. Mm-hmm. So kids come home with a variety of stuff and maybe a little bit less sugar, but probably not much because we give them donuts as well. So wouldn't say you wouldn't get any sugar at our church.
How you're up to 750 now. How have you grown? How have you found that the growth has gone over the last few years? Did you start out with a handful, or did you have a good amount to begin with?
You know, I think our first year we had maybe, we would guess, a couple hundred kids come through, which I thought was really great turnout for our first year.
Oh, yeah.
The first year we did it, it was a Saturday. So we did do a daytime and then rolled it into the evening. We had like a big thing during the day as well and rolled it into the evening. When it's on a weekday or whatever, it's really hard to do that. People obviously can't come during the day on Halloween. So, you know, for the last several years, we've just been the evening. And, you know, growing it is kind of tricky because we want all the kids and we love that, but you still have to add trunks to that because the more kids you bring, you really want to have a big, so we have to keep, you know, pushing it with the congregation, please come and bring your car out. And like I said, we've gone into the neighborhoods and tried to get some other people to come and enjoy it with us as well. So we try to publicize it for the neighborhood as either come trunk or treat or come be a trunker.
Mm-hmm.
And we are trying to grow it that way as well, which has been pretty successful for us.
We will be right back after these messages.
Hey, knucklehead, what are you doing?
Just throwing away this old WHFR loyal listener guy.
Well, make sure you recycle it, lame brain.
I know.
Better yet, why not save a tree and sign up for the WHFR e-newsletter instead?
WHFR has an electronic newsletter?
Yeah, you just need to go to their website, pay attention when I'm talking to you, WHFR.FM, and hit the sign-up link. It has all the same bells and whistles of the paper newsletter.
Really?
Yeah, it's the most up-to-date WHFR info sent right to your email box. You got one of those, don't you?
Yeah, I got three of them.
Ah, you wise guy. Think about it.
Yeah. No more running up to the record store to get my copy and saving me on gas, too. Info sent right to my email box. That makes me very happy.
Well, okay, Mr. Happy. Let's go to WHFR.FM right now and sign you up.
Yeah, let's go do it.
It's informative, quicker, and easier on the environment. It's the WHFR electronic newsletter. Visit our website, WHFR.FM, and sign up today.
So you're getting involvement or participation, if you will, from the adults in the neighborhood because they've become the drunkers also. What about the kids? Are you getting kids from outside the neighborhood, outside the congregation? Do you know?
Well, with 750 kids, we're certainly getting kids from outside the congregation. I'd like to say we had 750 kids, but we don't. But yes, definitely, we get kids from all over Dearborn, I think. And I'm sure there are kids from outside Dearborn that we don't know who may be with friends or such. But we have had just a great turnout. All the kids in our immediate neighborhood, I'm sure, come through at some point during the evening. And I know that we get kids from all over town because there's people I know that live in other areas of Dearborn that I see at the trunk or treat. Mm-hmm. So yes, we definitely get people from all over.
That's so exciting. It's a great outreach.
It's a wonderful community outreach. I mean, we have, you know, a large Muslim population comes out and comes through the trunk or treat. Last year in our you know, parish hall where we had it. And it's really for everybody. It's not about coming to our church or recruiting for our church. It's just a nice way to be there for the community and say, you know, we want you to be part of this and enjoy your mm-hmm. Halloween and have a great experience with it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Sounds like a fun night.
It is. It's been really fun. My family now, I have three small children. Well, they're not as small anymore as when we started, but, you know, we aren't even at our house anymore. We're just up at the church having fun. My kids help set up, plan, run games, play for the evening, and stay for the evening. So it's kind of a family night for us now. You know, we have the movies out that I mentioned earlier. We have the movies out on the... We have a big wall, and we project mm-hmm. the movies. And so it's just a fun atmosphere.
Oh, so people can walk through and watch the films? Or what kind of movies are you showing on the wall?
Well, I'd have to go back and look. We had somebody put a loop together, but, you know, there's like the old Abbott and Costello black and white and the Frankenstein type things. And, you know, just nothing scary, really, mm-hmm. but just kind of the black and white sort of adds to the spooky atmosphere of the event. We have the dry ice smoke machines that we put down the middle, and you know, we have lots and lots of jack-o'-lanterns that we've carved, like I talked about on mm-hmm. our pumpkin carving evening. And so it's sort of, I like to call us the mini Greenfield Village, but okay. They probably wouldn't like that. Maybe you should edit that out, but we try to make it kind of a neat atmosphere to walk through. So.
Okay. And I asked Pastor Dustin earlier if there was a sort of target audience, if you will. Do you have a target audience for the kids?
I think it's really just families in general. Mm-hmm. You know, we certainly get the teenagers. They come a little bit later in the evening, and we're glad to give them, you know, treats, whatever is left over. They usually get kind of the leftovers by the time they show up. But it's really kind of for the younger kids, but also just the family in general. We like mom and dad to come through, and or grandma and grandpa, who's ever taken them out trick-or-treating, and it's really for everybody.
Okay. And costumes? Everybody's in costumes?
Everybody's in costumes. Usually almost all the trunkers are in costumes. Some maybe just a hat or a mask or something, but most people show up with something on. And if they don't, we give them a little bit of a hard time about that. Okay.
Have you done a contest between the trunkers yet?
Yeah, we usually have the contest between the trunkers, and that's brought some pretty good outfits out. I mean, that people really get into that and have some neat costumes with that.
Okay, Kim, tell me, with all the numbers of trunkers that you have and all this participation, tell me about some of the more unusual costumes with regards to trunkers, for example.
Well, we've had all kinds of sort of fun and great costumes over the years. The Queen and King of Hearts stand out as a pretty good costume. We have a couple that's just very creative and very artsy, and they always come with just crazy good costumes. As a matter of fact, he is a wonderful pumpkin carver, and he makes these elaborate carvings where actually you don't carve the whole thing out, but you make it so it shows through. It makes the pumpkin very thin. Mm-hmm. And he's done Jesus. He's done his wife. He's done all kinds of things that are just unbelievable.
Jesus's wife?
No.
No. Okay.
But so he usually wins the best decorated trunk as well for the pumpkins.
Okay.
But we've had all kinds of neat things. You know, monkeys, bananas, fishermen, scary people, Dracula, President Bush, Duck Dynasty, you name it, they've been out there.
About how many cars do you have?
I would say we try to have at least 50 stations or cars. We've probably had more than that in our biggest years. You know, when we started out, we certainly weren't that big.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it just sounds so fulfilling, though.
Yeah, it is. It's really a great experience with the community.
Okay. Pastor Albert? Care to expound on anything going on at Hope with regards to this?
Well, like I said, being relatively new at this, we had some of the people dressed up last year, but mm-hmm. we didn't have like a set theme per se.
Right,
so it was
right.
quite interesting. One of the things that was enjoyable for me is to see like our teenage youth getting engaged in this.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful way for us to get them involved in the actual community outreach process. Because, you know, they're at that in-between age where, yeah, maybe their heart wants them to go have fun and trick-or-treat, but at the same time, maybe I'm a little too old to be trick-or-treating, but they could still have fun with it, so they would help with the children when they're, you know, leading them to where the food booth was at, or they would help just walk around just kind of laughing and joking with the kids and stuff. So it was enjoyable to see that. But, you know, like I said, it's nice to see the level of creativity. It's also to see nice to see the type of fellowship that is created within the community, the worship community that we have, because people perhaps are parked next to someone that they don't maybe always see all the time in worship, or to sit next to someone in worship. Mm-hmm. So there's that time where they can sit and converse and enjoy each other's friendship and mm-hmm. fellowship. But then also it was also nice to see literally people coming off from the neighborhood, walking up into the grounds, and just having that sense of just being welcomed.
Right, right.
Once again, ours is truly just a community event. Mm-hmm. It is nothing Kim was saying, that we're not trying to recruit people. We're right. not, you know, passing out information of any kind. It truly is just an environment where we're welcoming people to come. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that. You know, I try to make a presence as far as walking around, greeting people, making sure they know where facilities are at, if they have to use a restroom or what have you. So it was just really nice, neighborly, if mm-hmm. you use the word, mm-hmm. That it just felt like we were spending time with neighbors
right,
and friends.
Right.
So it was a lot of doors, I think, were opened up as far as lines of communication. What I've seen throughout this year because of that is some of the immediately local neighbors around our church building are more vigilant as far as helping us watch our building. If they were to see something's wrong, you know, they come and say, "Oh, Pastor, we noticed that your one light is out on this side of the building." And it's like, okay. "Oh, great, cool."
Okay.
You know, just recently the storms that came through, we unfortunately suffered some rainwater in our fellowship hall. One of the neighbors came and approached me and said, "Do you guys need help cleaning up your basement? You know, do you need help cleaning up stuff?" You know, they're not members of our church, but they were being neighborly. Mm-hmm. And those were neighbors that we met through this Trunk or Treat community event.
Terrific.
So it's just that aspect of just being a neighbor among our neighbors. Mm-hmm. So that's the benefit I see from it.
Mm-hmm. How are you getting out the word with regards to your Trunk or Treat?
We are doing that through our website. We also use social media quite heavily. And the advertising on social media. So we've seen a benefit from that as well. A lot of it is word of mouth, you know, spreading friends of friends, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do advertisement outside of the building, like there will be a banner and a sign outside of our church.
Okay,
proper.
Okay, wonderful. And Pastor Dustin.
I think Pastor Albert's touched on a key thing behind why churches usually do trunk or treats. You know, the churches in our communities exist not just for themselves, they exist for the community in which they're present. And
right.
That's the biggest thing we're trying to communicate in doing Trunk or Treat, is we are here for the community. We're here to tangibly be loving and caring for our community. Our church grounds are open to our community, and it's a great opportunity that, you know, trick or treating on Halloween night or whenever is always a community type of event, and it's when people have a chance to go and actually meet maybe the new neighbor up the street they haven't met before, or get to reconnect with somebody they hadn't seen. But as kind of society is changing and all of a sudden neighbors are strangers and they don't know, we want to be able to open up and kind of take us back to that kind of an atmosphere where the neighborhood has a chance to come together, shared space where they can be a safe environment. And so truly, that's kind of the goal that we have. There's nothing that we're getting out of trick-or-treating or trunk-or-treating. It's, you know, we're hosting the event. We're providing candy. We're doing lots to just be able to open our space up to the community to come together and to reunite, to connect with and get to know each other, and provide that community atmosphere, mm-hmm. Which we so desire to do.
Right. And about how many trunkers do you have?
That's a good question. I think the goal is to have a minimum of 30.
Okay.
50 is a great group to have. And so that's the part of what we've been wrestling with is you have kids that are going to go around multiple times. So does it really matter beyond so many trunks how many you have? They're going to keep going around. And some of our volunteers that are going to be working at it are going to just be running other types of events as well. So I think 30 is about our goal right now.
Okay.
For trunks.
And you have a great space too.
Yeah. Yeah. Great location. You know, one of the major blessings that our church has is that we're right on Telegraph. You know, we've had that fenced in area with that big side yard right on Telegraph. So it's easy to find the church. But yet it's, because it's all fenced in, it's protected, even though it's a busy road right there.
Right. Right. Okay. Thank you all very much. And we're going to take a little break. Be right back after these messages, and make sure that everybody knows where you are, when you are. And so get your pens and paper ready, and we'll get you the contact information right after this.
Grizzly bears are fighting for survival in the northern Rocky Mountains. For grizzlies to thrive, they must travel safely between protected habitats. But the pathways connecting these areas are being lost to development. The Vital Ground Foundation is protecting and restoring these critical lands. To find out how you can help, visit www.vitalground.org. Where the grizzly can walk, the earth is healthy and whole.
This is Carolyn Striel, and you're listening to the only station making waves, WHFR.FM.
Okay, and we are back with a really great group of individuals talking about Trunk or Treat. And Trunk or Treat pretty much is, I learned a new word today, and that's trunkers. I didn't know that word before we started this episode of Impact. And we're talking about people who park their cars in church parking lots and distribute all kinds of goodies, whether it's candy or pencils or whatever it might be, to kids in the neighborhood, kids from outside the neighborhood, kids from the congregation, kids from all over the place, and kids who are not necessarily stopping at 18 or whatever. They're kids of all different ages. So again, Pastor Dustin, if you tell us a little bit about your trunk or treat, mm-hmm. and how you're handling that version of trick or treat, and then tell us how to contact you.
Sure, yeah. Our trunk or treat this year will be on Halloween night, right on the 31st in the evening from 6 to 8, right at our church is located at 2801 South Telegraph, just south of Michigan Ave. We are between Oxford and Princeton Street, but our parking and our parking lot where all of the activities will be taking place is behind the church, so either Princeton or Oxford off of Telegraph. We will have most of our parking lot cordoned off. We'll have our trunks all with our trunkers all lined up, passing out the goodies, both candy as well as other kind of whatever gifts they're passing out there. And then throughout the building, throughout the church building inside, we're going to have different games with prizes, as well as more trunkers inside passing out more goodies, food down in the basement and outside, and then the inflatable fun games for both the kids and for those that are kids at heart, outside and around the different in the yard and that type of thing. We have more information online at our church website, DearbornFMChurch.org, Dearborn Free Methodist Church, so DearbornFMChurch.org. Mm-hmm.
And the telephone?
Our telephone is 313-561-8774.
Okay. We're talking a lot about community outreach, too, which is what this is all about. What other types of activities do you have going into the community from?
Into the community.
Into the community from the Methodist Church.
We are trying to be a place that hosts community whenever possible. So Trunk or Treat has for a long time been one of the big main events in the fall that we've done. Every year it's kind of been growing and growing. That's something we put a lot of energy into as we're in that planning phase right now, mm-hmm. For all of fall and moving into Christmas. Mm-hmm. And we are beginning to plan some different Christmas events. One of the things about Christmas is everybody enjoys Christmas music, and we are going to put on a large Christmas concert probably on the 20th of December that'll be hosted for the community.
Okay.
Anybody that wants to come, a free concert in that way. Moving into the spring, we have different ideas that are in the works, but I'm not about to announce all of those because I'm not sure yet. This is my first year at the church as well, so we've got to be a little careful there. One of the things, though, that we do face is that there's always need in the community. Mm-hmm. And so just about every day, we'll have a family stop by or an individual stop by asking for help with something, and we try and help with what we can. We always have a bag of food for anybody that needs to stop by the church and pick up a little bit of extra food for the pantry at any time that way. And that's one of the big things that we just always are present there for the community in that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. And again, the website is?
DearbornFMChurch.org.
Okay. And Pastor Albert, tell us in a summary of the Trunk or Treat and then also some contact information for Hope.
Once again, our Trunk or Treat event is being held Sunday, October 26th, between the hours of 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. At our church location, which is 3640 Madison Street. We are located at the corner of Madison and Carlisle, just three blocks east of Telegraph Road. Our aspect, once again, of doing this is, as I've shared with these friends here, is this aspect of just being a neighbor, being part of the community. Sometimes I think a church can just almost become white noise. The building itself can become white noise, and people just drive by it just expecting not much of it. It's just this infrastructure, this brick and mortar building standing there. But we want to be seen as a neighbor. We want to be seen as part of the community. So we do these events just to, once again, state our presence and our want to be among everybody in the community. So we, other aspects that we do to, you know, help out or be that presence, we have various things throughout the year. We have, just recently, we did on September 7th, it's a program that we do every year. It's called God's Work, Our Hands, where we go out into the community and we do work for our neighbors. So this past year, we walked from our church location down to Penvassar Park. And in the process of doing that, we were picking up any litter that we saw on our neighbor's streets and as we were walking towards the park, and then once again cleaned up the park. So there's that aspect of it. We work to help feed those who are in need and in any way possibly we can. You know, often we will sit and think that poverty is something that perhaps is in the inner city. And as we all know, there is such a thing as called the working poor. There are people who have difficulties surviving from paycheck to paycheck. So we do our best to try to help those people in need as well. There are some other fun community events we like to do. Once again, just inviting people to come and share in the time and place and the space that we have. One of the fun things that we do every year, it's going to be on October 4th of this year, we have a blessing of pets, where we invite people to bring their family pet to come forward. And just we meet outside, weather permitting, and we just gather around with a whole bunch of God's creatures, and we just ask for blessings upon them. And it's just, that's a wonderful thing. You see neighbors coming to that as well. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those aspects of wanting to share in the community. People can always find more information about what we're doing on our website, which is hlcdearborn.org. So Hope Lutheran Church, Dearborn.org. And information is found there, or they can also go onto our Facebook site as well, which is Hope Lutheran Church, Dearborn, Michigan. They can get more information on our Facebook site.
Okay. Have you blessed anything other than cats and dogs?
Oh, no, yes, we have blessed a lot of things. actually, my most interesting animal I blessed was this Australian rabbit. And as this person was coming forward with this mystical creature underneath a blanket, which seemed as if she was carrying a small toddler under this blanket, and as she came forward, a long ear fell out from under the blanket and actually startled me, because I guess these creatures can become quite large. And it was a classroom pet. This was a teacher that had brought the classroom pet to be blessed. So it was an interesting event for me. So
how big was the bunny?
It was, I think, almost 30 pounds.
Oh,
it was huge.
That's like two cats.
Yes, it was
two good sized cats. Okay. Kim?
Okay, well, that's an interesting act to follow. Our event is going to be on Halloween night as well at our church at 600 North Brady. We are kind of tucked back in the neighborhood. If you take Brady off of Michigan going north and go past Cherry Hill, we're just up there on the right hand side. And we will have our big parking lot filled with, well, not filled, but have some cars there with trunks, and we will also be inside as well. Hopefully the weather's nice and we can be outside, because I think it's a little bit more festive, but we will be inside if the weather's bad. You can always come there to take some cover from the bad weather. 5:30 to 7:30, and you can get more information. You can call the church at 313-274-1313, or go to our website as well, firstpressdearborn.org. Okay. And we have a Facebook page as well, and lots of information on the website.
Okay. And what other types of ways are you reaching out to the community?
Well, we have lots of different programs going on, of course, like all churches do. We try to be good community citizens, good neighbors. It's a really important, our pastor has made that a big charge for our church to be very active in our community and do a lot of outreach, and we enjoy doing that very much. Let's see, we have coming up in October, we have our annual rummage sale and auction, which is our Presbyterian Women's Group puts on every year. And if anybody knows about our church, we have a big downstairs, and they fill it with all kinds of items called the treasure chest, and they have a big rummage sale, and they put that with the auction in October. So that's one of their big main events. We have a holiday galleria where we bring in a lot of vendors from the outside with all kinds of crafts and things that you can buy for Christmas shopping. Holiday Gallery, I believe, is the weekend of November 15th, not positive on that, so check the website. That's really fun and growing. They've only been doing that for a few years, and that's really nice. It's an all-weekend event. We have some scrapbooking days. You can come and do scrapbooking. We have, you know, our youth group goes down to Detroit, our teenagers, and feeds the hungry once a month or once every other month. We also have a kind of interesting program called Converge, and that's a group for young adults, which I think is a little bit of a target audience that's kind of gets lost in the shuffle in churches. They're not the young kids, and they're not the, you know, mature adults, or mature is probably not the right word, but, you know, people who are going to church with their family as such. So Converge meets Saturday nights. We have a great, our associate pastor takes that on, and he does a wonderful job with that group, and they meet at Panera Cares in Dearborn on Michigan Avenue on Saturday evenings. And that's a really fun and interesting group, open to everybody, and Pastor Hoffman is in charge of that at our church. What else? We have a really fun event in the spring. I'll do a little pitch for my spring event that the group that puts on the Halloween event also does, and it's called Giggles and Grub. And I guess giggles because you get a lot of laughs, and grub because we feed you for free. So we bring in a ventriloquist from Texas. This will be, I think, her fifth year we've brought her in. She is so popular with the kids that they say, we don't want anybody else. We want her to come back. She has great puppets and does a really fun show for the kids. And we have dinner first. We feed everybody, and then we have the show, and it's a really great, fun family event. The adults think she's as funny as the kids, I think. So that keeps growing every year, and we keep bringing her back. Her name is Nancy Worcester, and she's great, and we have that in the spring. that's like the first weekend in March, but okay. We'll have information as that gets closer as well.
Okay, and that's out on the web?
That is on the web. Absolutely is on the web. Pictures from last year will be there, and this year is probably, the date's probably up there. And, you know, that's a standard. We've been doing that now. I think this will be the fifth year we've had that, and that's growing, and that's very fun as well. And then she also goes and does some school visits while she's in town. We send her out to some of the local elementary schools.
Okay. Wow. Lots going on.
Yeah, we try to stay busy.
I think you're succeeding. Okay, and we'll get the contact information to you one more time. And with regards to Trunk or Treat, the first one would be Hope, and that's Sunday, October 26th, 1 until 3 p.m. For more information, take a look at the web, and that's hlcdearborn.org. And Methodist Church is, you're earlier, right? Or
I think we're at 5:30.
You're 5:30. She's earlier. Okay, Kim, you're earlier.
We're at 5:30. 600 North Brady, firstpressdearborn.org is the website, and information is there, and everybody's welcome.
Great.
We're at 6 to 8 at Dearborn Free Methodist Church at 2801 South Telegraph Road, just south of Michigan Ave. DearbornFMChurch.org is our website, and we'll have all the information on that.
Terrific. Thank you all for being part of Impact. And I will remind you again that this is Impact, a show about individuals and groups making a positive difference in the community. This is a pre-recorded show, and the views expressed on Impact are not necessarily those of WHFR nor Henry Ford College. Let's talk about some really fun things happening in addition to the Trunk or Treat for the kiddies of all ages this Halloween. A couple of these events around the area might be of interest to you. Starting out with the Wilson Barn, and that's in Livonia, from September 27th through October 30, we have the apple cider and donuts time. You can pick a pumpkin, take a pony ride, or a hay ride. So it sounds like a lot of fun. For more information, 734-427-4311. And the admission cost on the Wilson Barn is free, and that's always a good thing. The Spooktober series at the Penn Theater sounds like a lot of fun, too. That runs through October 30 every Thursday, and there's an experience of old-school horror cinema with Abbott and Costello Meet Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That's from 1953. Ghostbusters, Young Frankenstein, or is that Frankenstein? And Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man. And those are, again, Thursdays at the Penn, and the Penniman Theater number is 734-416-4311. 4278. You can get lots of good information from them. We have other great things happening, lots of fun. How about Greenfield Village? And running through October 22nd on Fridays and Saturdays, we have more than 1,000 carved jack-o'-lanterns lighting your way through the mile-long curving trick-or-treat path. You want to make sure you don your favorite costume, meet some classic creepy characters at this nightmare-free event. And tours leave every half hour, so you need to register, and the number to call, 313-982-6001. Again, that's Greenfield Village. How about great things happening at the zoo? The Zooboo at the Detroit Zoo happens Fridays and Saturdays through October 26th. Dress up in your favorite costume for a half mile of trick-or-treating, and the Zooboo Review, Ghoulie Games, Haunted Reptile House, and Zombie Zone are all available. You want to make sure that you register for this also. The number for that is 248-541-5717. And what else is happening at the zoo? Oh, there's more scary stuff. And there's a Smashing Pumpkins at the Detroit Zoo Festival on the date of October 15th, and that is a Wednesday. We're not talking about the singing group. See various animals smash pumpkins to get treats, and you'll see smashing critters like river otters, polar bears, anteaters, and tigers. And again, the number for the Detroit Zoo is 248-541-5717. What about Nankin Mills? Great place on Ann Arbor Trail. They have a Halloween forest run, so you can hike into the woods in the middle of the night, and you'll see some of nature's not-so-scary costume characters. Afterwards, head inside for Halloween prizes and treats. Again, need to register? The number for Nankin Mills is 734-261-1990. Boo at the Berg, and this is at Civic Center and Berg Road in Southfield. Come in costume, wander the haunted paths at Berg Historical Park. There's a bat exhibit, hayride, haunted forest. Great experience. Number there at Boo at the Berg is 248-796-4620. Halloween Science at the Cranbrook Institute of Science. This is October 18th, and we're talking about Halloween's spooky creatures of the night, including bats, owls, and cockroaches, plus ghosts, pumpkins, and even a haunted roller coaster ride. Costumes are great, but they're not required. But you definitely want to make sure you're registered by October 16th. And the number to register for Cranbrook is 877-462-7262. A little bit closer to the Dearborn home again, we have Halloween fun at the Arab American Museum, a beautiful facility. Don't know if you've been there, check it out. And they have recently expanded, so all kinds of great things going on. This is the 5-year anniversary for the museum's Haunted Halloween Family Party. And the party takes place Saturday, October 25th. For more information and registration, give them a call at 313-582-2266, and they can tell you all about that festival. And wanted to talk about the Redford, too. So many great things going on at the Redford, and they've pretty much dedicated the month of October to great Halloween films. And the Redford Theater is starting out with the silent film, The Phantom of the Opera. So this one goes back to 1925, and it has an organ accompaniment. Remember, no silent film is ever silent, and that'll be Tony O'Brien on the beautiful Barton organ. And the performances for Phantom of the Opera, Friday night the 17th at 8 o'clock, Saturday matinee at 2, and an evening show at 8. Doors open 1 hour prior to each show, and then there is an organ concert prior to 1/2 hour prior to the performances. The following weekend, October 24th and 25th, Sir Graves' Ghastly Tribute. Remember him? And the film is The Wolfman. This goes back to, let's see, 1941, and stars Lon Chaney and Claude Rains. So you should be frightened already. Friday and Saturday performances are at 8 o'clock. The Saturday matinee is at 2, and again, the doors open 1 hour prior with an organ overture at 7:30 and 1:30. All right, who you gonna call? Ghostbusters. That's right, on Halloween night, 8 o'clock. So when you get done trunk-or-treating and trick-or-treating and all those other great things, head on over to the theater and check out Ghostbusters. That one is a 1984 Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, and Rick Moranis film. Funny, get slimed, whatever. That is Friday, October 31st, Halloween night at 8 o'clock with an organ overture at 7:30. And wrapping up, Halloween is Friday, October 31st at 11:30 p.m. Doors open at 10:45 for this one. And this is Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn. Bruce Campbell, Sarah Berry, Dan Hicks. And this is a 1987 thriller chiller. This is rated R. And again, it starts at 11:30. So probably not quite for the younger crowd, but you want to wrap up some fun time for the older kids, that might be the right way to do it. Alrighty, and this is Lynn signing off from the calendar of our Halloween fun stuff for everybody. So you learned a new word with this show, and that word was trunker, and you can do some great trunk-or-treating, trick-or-treating, catch a film, lots of great things to do. Happy haunting.
There's a place called Transylvania that's very, very old. The days are damp and foggy, and the nights are black and cold. But wherever I may wander, and no matter where I roam, I always will be yearning for my Transylvania home. Carry me back. Transylvania, that's where the vampires and the monsters walk the night. That's where the werewolves howl sweet in the moonlight. And innocent victims just disappear from sight. That's where ghastly creatures.
This is Jen Cass, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Such a smart choice.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the functified starship. Functified starship. Functified starship. Functified
Stardate. It is Tuesday, October.